Welcome to the CEN Show, the voice of the world community. The Community Education Network is a team of community educators from various backgrounds presenting alternative educational information with the intent of self and collectively improving to contribute to a healthy and viable world. I am your host, Roski Mascani. Tonight's guest is back for the fourth time, Sister Making It Happen, and we're glad she's here. And the topic is Ending Women's History Month and How to Celebrate the Female Principal in Our Lives. Good evening, Sister Making It Happen. Glad you're back. How are you? If you like, you can share some things about yourself, and please begin your presentation.
Greetings and Hotep family. Thank you, Brother Rasaki and the Community Education Network for having me back again. Really excited to join y'all and as we're concluding and ending Women's History Month. It's been a wonderful time. It's been a lot going on despite, you know, being in a pandemic or ending a pandemic and starting a war and all these things going on. I say this is the greatest time for us as a people to make the changes that we need to make. So I'm happy today to share, you know, there's quite a bit that we can talk about in terms of the female principal. But I want to start off with maybe a little poem that I want to share, you know. Female, girl, she, her, daughter, sister, heterosexual, monogamous, traveler, Buddhist, trio, college, high school, counselor, mama, Mrs. Ia, the healer, medicine woman, alchemist, star. In my travels, these were some of the historical figures that have come into my life as I journeyed into growing into a wise woman. They represent the female principal. And I'd like to share today, as we come to the end and the conclusion of Women's History Month for 2022, I'd like to honor and celebrate some of those historical figures that were impactful to my life and perhaps introduce some of them to the Community Education Network. Okay. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to share some slides with you all, and we're going to have a discussion about these slides. They are historical figures. They are heroes that have come in and poured into my life. And I'm going to share this personal journey with the Community Education Network and have some dialogue about some of these historical figures. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. So hold on one second. Allow Zoom to share your screen. So it's telling me to allow Zoom to share my screen. Okay. All right, let's see. Hold on one second and bear with me as I get my information opened. Looks like for some reason my Zoom is not going through. Hold on. Okay. I have my slideshow ready, but I need to be able to share. Okay, great, there we go. So can you all see the screen?
Not yet.
All right, let's see.
When you pull it up, you just have to click it and then push share. But you know how to do that. I don't need to tell you that.
Well, it is giving me some instruction, okay. All
All right, it looks like I am having a little difficulty. So bear with me. Oh, wow, I sure wish that I could get this for y'all to see it. Okay. Nothing yet, huh?
No. Did you push share when you pull it up?
Let me go to, let's see, some of the.
You're at the green button, right?
Okay, here it is. So let's see. Okay. Nothing yet, huh? Bear with me, please.
Want me to walk you through it?
Yeah, because when I press the share screen, it's telling me I'm hitting share. It says open system preferences.
Oh, I don't know what's going on with that. Is your PowerPoint pulled up?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay, and then when you go to share screen, pull it up, and then you should see different icons. You see the different icons?
Yeah, I do, and I see my Google Drive, so I'm there, and it...
Did you click that, click it, and then push share?
Yeah, open preference.
Well, you could go ahead and just read it and read it to us.
All right, we'll do.
Okay,
so I'm going to start off. I have some materials to share with you. So I have some information here. This is a historical figure. Her name is Queen Afua. And this young lady has come into my life in regards to healing and natural healing. Queen Afua is a master of everything natural. She has been around for many, many years helping women to learn about their bodies and how to maintain balance in their bodies. She's a historical figure that I wanted to share with your listening audience so that they can begin to, as we continue to honor the female principle, healing is part of that healing principle, taking care of ourselves. What we consume, what we're eating, what we're putting on our bodies. Healing is what I'm considering a female principle. And mastering that, taking that female principle of healing thyself and using the herbs that are here, the nature, connecting with nature to create balance in our lives.
Can you show us that again? I made it where you could, yeah, it's real large now. Okay.
Queen Afua, this is one of the books she has called Sacred Women, and it's a guide to healing the female body, mind, and spirit. Now, we are honoring women, and this is Women's History Month, but we have to remember that in the word woman is the word man. So we must understand that as we heal the woman, we are also able to heal the man. And so the woman represents the male and the female in a sense that the word woman includes man. So therefore, when we heal ourselves, we heal the community, and it starts with self. So Queen Afua is one of those sisters that everyone should know about, especially in our community. She's been putting down the work for many, many years. This is her other book that I go to really, really often. It's called Heal Thyself. And as you can see, there is a male and a female there. Because again, as we honor the female, we must also honor the male, because together we are one. So Queen Afua is someone that's very special to me. She teaches women all kinds of things about their health, their mental, their physical, and their spiritual. And this book is very, very powerful in for young women as they journey into, you know, forming relationships, looking for mates, all these things in building a family, that Queen Afua gives some basic principles for a young woman or older woman or woman to just be able to, again, heal herself mentally, physically, and spiritually, because she is the center of the family. And the family includes the husband and the children. And so together, collectively, when she heals herself, she then in two is healing her family. So Queen Afua is one of those women that I definitely wanted to share with the group. And before I go further into honoring the female principle, I can't go further without talking about my mom. That's my female principle, you know, creative force, who I come from. We all have mothers. Continuously recognizing our moms, honoring the sacrifices that your mother made for you, that your grandmother made for you. But those are the female principles that we come from. And if your mom has the knowledge of self, then 9 times out of 10, she's the culture holder. She's going to share that with her family, her children. So between mama and big mama, I have to, as I'm talking about the female principle, bring their energy into this space, because they're my elders. And in fact, they have to give permission for things to go on. So we have to recognize the elders. So I want to make sure that I honor our moms. And as you're thinking about continuing to honor the female principle, celebrating Women's History Month, think yourself about your mothers, your grandmothers, you know, your wives, your daughters, you know, and giving them the attention that they need, whether it's listening to their conversation, you know, taking them on a walk, spending some time, what we call reasoning with one another. Like my father told me, during this shutdown, the most important thing is for us to communicate and reason with one another. We can get through all of this as long as we communicate with each other. And so hence, thankful to you, brother, Rasaki, for this forum, because this also too, coming out of that shutdown, is giving us an opportunity to build with one another, okay? And so again, in honoring the female principle, we want to thank our mothers, our grandmothers, and remember them, because they are the traditional holders and they pass on the tradition to us. So that was my mom. I wanted to recognize my mother and my grandmother, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here in the space that I'm in to be able to share with you all the female principle. You know, there's a lot that we can talk about later in regards to the alpha female and what that means. But the female principle, from my journey, it's more of a holistic perspective of nature and God, and coming together with those creative forces to take care of your life and your family, and what that means for each and every one of us, because we are all individuals. And so how that looks in my life may look different in your life, but definitely the mother principle should be common among all of us, our grandmothers. We think about Big Mama's food on Sunday, or we think about what mama does in the evening. She comes home from work and she cooks us food. Or I don't know, she might, you know, do our hair, braid our hair, or sit down with us and teach us something from her mother or her grandmother. So honoring and spending time with the females in your life, your daughters, your mother, your wife, your grandmother, and pouring back into them like they poured into you. Helping them to keep their reasoning going so that their mind is sharp by, again, exchanging energy and communicating. So again, honor your mom. So back to Queen Afua. So again, Queen Afua is someone who I would call a historical figure, a shero in my life, that has brought light to me in terms of honoring the female principle in myself. There's also within Queen Afua's book, she has lots of great information. So this picture here is of the historical figure, the Sky Mother. And I don't know if you all can see that well, but
we can see it pretty good. It's pretty visible.
So what you see here is some yoga moves. You see the woman bending over with her front hands and her back legs, and she's nurturing everyone. And so what does this mean? The sky mother, right? So in terms of honoring that energy, go outside, get some sun, look up into the sky. That's the sky mother, you know, sit on the grass, lay back, close your eyes, go back into your inner self, regenerate yourself, restore yourself. The sky mother, this is a visualization. And there's so many images there from Kemet, from the walls of ancient Egypt, that we can look at to see how the woman nurtured and how we can use that image to, again, dream, see our future, and plan for healing, self-healing. So I wanted to share that because I thought it was just so amazing to see, again, the yoga, which again is healing. You see the woman being nurtured at her breasts and then at her vagina. There's so much that's being given by this female principle. But in this article, in this book here, Queen of Four refers to this as a visualization. Okay, so check it out, the Sky Mother. Use it for some visualization, again, in terms of honoring that female principle in you. That's your creative void, your creative forces, that visualization, you know, creating the life you want by having visions of that. So that's another historical figure that I wanted to share. It was the Sky Mother. I really wanted to make sure that my presentation was shown, but since it's not, I just have to make sure some of the books that I'm referencing is where a lot of these images and symbolisms come from. So this is another book. Now, this is a male. This is Ra Nefer Amen. But of course, he's dealing with some culture here. And this is the Oracle of Tahuti. And so in here, we're dealing with spirituality. Okay, we're dealing with energy and divination and being able to create the life you want, understanding the principles of yourself, you know, your male and your female side and how they are one. You know, I always talk to the young people today, and, you know, there's a lot of confusion going on in terms of sexuality. You know, we are all male and females. We have duality. That's who we are, right? But when we understand on the bigger scheme of things, the creative forces that we are here to create and continue life. So that is one of the biggest things that we must understand when we're looking at this book here, is how do we then manifest the things that we want in our life? How do we use the creative forces, the energy that is in us to create our will to do what we want to do? I'm calling that the female principle. So when we look at this book here, they deal with principles like Ma'at. You deal with Asah, Aset. You're dealing with a lot of the principles for the divination that our ancestors use to understand life and understand how to not get trapped up in the mess around us, but to really stay focused on what's on the inside and how to bring it out versus focusing on the outside that is going to impact the inside. Okay, so those were just some things that I wanted to share. There is the story of time. This image is of, they call it Grandmother Galaxy. A lot of the images that I put in my home, the things that I expose my children to, are really to create a space where there are no limits in their ability to create. So as a mother, what I teach my children, the female principle of creation, of creating what they want in their lives, is balance and harmony, right? One of the principles for balance and harmony is Ma'at. Ma'at is a very important principle for us to understand, to learn about,
because it talks about balance and it talks about an order. And just like our bodies are in perfect alignment, in perfect order, we have health. When our bodies are out of alignment and it is not in order, we have disease. So in honoring that female principle, it's important to understand that you, yourself, male, you need balance in your life. How do you get that? Where, how do you manage your stress? You know, how do you deal with, you know, overcoming challenges that you need to overcome? A lot of times you have to sit and meditate. I know we had one of our sessions on the Community Education Network. There was a discussion about breath work and breathing. I was very impressed with the breath work and the breathing, because that's very important in creating balance in our lives. Again, I consider that a female energy. Why? Because it centers you. You have to sit down and go within to find the balance and then connect with your breath. So the breathing was really important, you know. Movement, dance. A lot of our culture is around dancing. You know, dancing is really good for the body. There's a lot of female movements in dancing. There's a lot of masculine movements in dancing. But remember, without female, there is no male. Male is included in female. When we look at the word woman, we can see that male is right there. So what I want to do now is really kind of open up and have some discussion in regards to how we honor the female principles lives. You know, for me, it's my mother and my grandmother. It's elders like the Queen of Fu was, you know, it's elders like Ayala Van Zandt, you know, it's organizations like Black Women for Wellness. When we put that together, that organization was created to support families using the female as the center of the home. But it was about community coming together to support. So that coming together, that, you know, creative energy, looking at how to solve problems, that female energy is the guiding force. So again, I want to thank you, and I apologize for the technology glitch. I got to get better at that. So the next time I see you guys, I'll be able to share my screen. But right now, I wanted to just maybe open it up with some of the things that I've shared to have a dialogue about the female principle and how we can continue to celebrate going forward.
Okay, I'm gonna start today. I usually go to everybody first. So I'm gonna start. So now, from what I understand, when I was coming up, and Brother Mashinda was a little ahead of me coming up, and we grew up together. He's another brother of mine. And when we were learning about females, we were getting this Eurocentric view of women. And I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I think that we were looking at women as objects versus, you know, something that's pure and wholesome, and that female principle where, you know, you have your mothers, your sisters, and you know, seeing the female as a viable, important, I want to say the right words, viable, important, and a person of substance in our lives. So we were getting a different view of women, and you could imagine what we were, you know, attempting to do at times. So as I got older and I got exposed to African thought versus Eurocentric thought, then I start putting more value towards the woman. And you know, and I was forced in a way to even look at it even more when I had all daughters and no sons, you know? So I kind of learned how to appreciate and value the the woman, you know, because that's where all of us come from. We come from a woman. Women come from women and men come from women.
Absolutely.
So I had to look at it in a different sense than what I've learned when I was younger, because we was running around like little dogs, you know. So I had to kind of learn. And then it was really good that I met Professor Amin Ra, because he was able to shed some light on the importance of valuing women and you know, mothers, daughters, aunties, you know, cousins, female cousins. And so, you know, it took a while for me, but I got to the point where I saw the very essence of how we should view females.
Now, and my husband would disagree with you. He would say that the children come from the husbands and the women nurture. Okay, that's true. I would have to give it to him. Okay.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm just saying, we come out of a woman.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, so how could you degrade that? It has to be held in high esteem. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start with Brother Machinda. Brother Machinda?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, got you.
Good evening, Sister Making It Happen. Welcome back.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, Brother Russell Key, yeah, he left out a couple of points. And let me clarify from my perspective, you know, and he was referring to, yes, kids, you know, from a sexuality standpoint, you know, of course, going through puberty and things like that, you know, of course we're males, and so we're going to be attracted to females, but I just want to point out that the matriarchs in our family, his mom, my mom has gone on to glory, but his mom is still here,
yes.
And a very strong sister, very strong. I've had a chance to reflect over the last several decades or few decades. A reflection of my mom, my sisters, my aunties, you know, my upbringing, and so what you're saying is dead on it. You know, I concur. I appreciate you making this presentation. It gives me a little more inspiration to continue to seek higher ground, to you know. At an early age, I had a respect for women, you know, and of course, the things that Brother Roscoe was talking about, of course, we're not perfect, and, you know, we have peers, and we, you know, there's peer pressures, and, we're trying to establish our little manhood at early ages and things like that, but I think some of us take it more to another extreme, you know, as far as that goes, but, you know, I remember when I was a younger person, when I say younger, I was in my teens, and I remember I was a protector of my mother and my sister, and I never really had to, you know, cross any lines, you know, as long as no one else crossed any lines. But I wanted to protect that because I understood, and I might have not understood it as clear as later on, you know, in my 20s when I started like Brother Rasaki's talking about African thought. I like how you just put that that perspective. And until I started researching and trying to understand my art and balance and you know, that type of thing, and the positive energy that we can receive from our ancestors, our parents, our matriarchs, just the whole design of you know, what you're talking about. So I've been in tune with that at an early age in my teens. And I probably was not able to define it at that point, but I just knew the power in the woman, you know, because, you know, my dad, he was gone at, you know, when I was 9 or 10 years old, although he was in our lives from time to time, you know. So I looked at my mom, you know, for direction, for a lot of things, and she shot the gap. She was powerful. And as I got older, And in her absence, when she's not really gone, and that's, we all know that, but in her physical absence, I really have been not only pondering, but just tapping into her spirit, you know, on a regular basis. And it's something to all of that. And so, again, I appreciate you, you know, sister, and you just keep doing what you're doing. And I'm going to slow down right now.
Well, thank you.
Okay, were you able to share the screen now?
I was able to do that, right?
Yeah.
Not excited. I'm still trying to, but, you know, we can let everyone kind of talk a little bit, but I definitely want to share some of the slides so you guys can have a visual and see.
Okay, we're going to go to Brother Hembry. Brother Hembry?
Mo.
Hey, hey. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Good to hear you. Been a minute. I've been trying to get up there, but you know, with all the stuff going on.
That's right.
But anyway, appreciating what you said, I have those pictures
that
you show of Nut and Shu holding up the principles of the universe and all of that.
Absolutely. And,
appreciate the book. Matter of fact, on that mural that I did on the 40s roll, it's a picture there of Tahuti.
Okay.
I was the one that designed that years ago before you got there.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go by and take a picture of that, okay?
Yeah, the 40s, you know, where the grass areas where the building burned down the other side of the wall.
Okay.
I just told Rashiki about it a little while back. But anyway, you're dead on it. And I just want to say that prior to others coming in with these religions, you know, that's when that disrespect started to come towards the Black woman with these religions that I call male chauvinist murder cults, because that's what they were and are, and where the sisters, you know, just started to be degraded immensely, you know, as a result of these religions and it's switching from a matriarchal to a matrilineal to a patrilineal society. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to get back to. And I love the part you brought about nature. If you just look in nature, you can see it. You know, if you just look at the animals, look at the lions, look at dogs, look at any animals in nature, prove the point that you bring up.
Yes.
That, you know, they nurture everything, they bring life, and they're the ones that have kept us together, you know, as we went through the atrocities that we've gone through for the last 3,000 years. And, you know, and I listen to James Brown, It's a Man's World, and I always said, no, it ain't, but that's what it became. But anyway, just appreciating what you said. I can't wait to hear some more. Matter of fact, the Metal Netter, I have all the volumes. It's taking me a minute to get through them, and that's what I got to get back to. I'm almost finished with volume one, the one you showed.
Okay.
The other volumes also. But anyway, I don't want to take up time because I want to hear more of your presentation, and love to you and the family as always. And I hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Brother Joe and Ms. Shinda. Let's get to Professor Rob.
Well, Abani Ghani again, Sister Shabazz. Appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. And I want to say Asante Sana, which is many thanks for your deep, courageous thoughts and uniqueness as far as being able to see life the way you do it, and attributing it to those principles of women that you talk about that help you, along with your life experiences and your attainment of education. You know how unique it is to think the way you think,
yes,
to be exposed to the seven virtues of Mott, and then practice them, and then make them a part of your life. Most women, and you know, don't, even though we have to see them that way, many women don't practice those virtues or practice the perspective that you say. Many women don't even see themselves as nurturers or healers. I just want to say it's deep the way you explain Queen Ophua as far as the healing and the master of the natural self. Going within, know thyself from that standpoint in celebration of woman history. That's unique. I have questions and then I have commentary on some of the things. So I'll get to some of the questions. You know, we look at the sexuality pushing. And as you said, women and men both work together, you know, and he and she, there's he. Mm-hmm. And in her, there's he. And female, there's male, as you say. And of course, in woman or women, the men is in that because they wrote. And there was so much abuse of women. And Black people learned in America to treat women. And as Joe said, when religion went into the continent, that created sexism. And now America is a sexist society. And so even though people appreciate the contribution women make as their mothers, as their nurses, you know, that's where the term nurse comes from, nurturing, from Black women being nurturers and using the earliest remedies before there were doctors and hospitals. They kept their babies alive. They learned how to, what to do through trial and error. And became masters of herbal life and remedies for various ailments, cuts, with putting mud on cuts and all those type of things. I saw in about 7 days of the Maasai, the sister did an operation without any anesthesia to get rid of gallstones. And she used a straw to suck them out. She felt them with her hand.
Wow.
And you understand? And, where a surgeon with the brother that she operated on, it would take, he would have to be under, and if you did it today, they'd put you under anesthesia, then you end up paying $200,000 for the operation, where she did it right there and healed the brother. The brother got up and walked away after the operation. But let me just get to the question. The information you have should be a part of a curriculum of school for both males and females. But how do we reach the generation that's been inundated with it's okay to be bisexual, triple sexual, hypersexual, and double death sexual? I mean, the guy got them, you know, like, hey, you got rights. You know, understand, they fight for their rights. There's no condemnation. There's no cultural corrections. I'm not saying you should abuse anyone, but there should be your culture driving your identity, whereas American culture is driving a lot of this Black culture because they've been sexually weird, unnaturally sexual throughout their history, raping, killing, incest, and all that. So, how do you deal with the challenges? I mean, is there a formula that you think that, not to tell people they can't be this or that, but just the beauty of womanism that you just talked about, how do we counter some of the you know, you got some mothers trying to out-twerk their daughters. You know, you got a women that, I think, growing fingernails longer than, and putting on cake and makeup and getting other people's hair and through that. And men doing some strange things too, sagging and getting their eyebrows arched, tattoos all over their body. So how do we get the teachings, the value of the sacredness of our lives? Is there a formula or is there a way we can get it in the high schools or get it in the families?
Well, that's a winning question. And if I had the answer, I would be probably a billionaire. But what I do have is I try to deal with individuals, you know, case by case. I know that you're asking for on a grander scale, but really sharing and having dialogue as much as you can with groups individually about nature, really, you know, exposing and getting into nature. I find that when we get into nature, we put our hands in the dirt and we get into nature, it kind of resets things. It kind of opens us up. You know, we begin to connect with those fungi, and then our mind just tends to kind of restructure itself. But it takes constant work. It takes elders like us to spend time listening and being able to communicate. And it's not easy. You know, I have two daughters and a son, and, you know, they've grown up in a very sacred environment. So some of the stuff that you're saying is easy to have with them because it's part of their norm, but you still got to deal with the outside world. You still got to go and interact at school and deal with people who see the world very differently than you do. So all you can do is be strong in yourself and be that light and reflect and be the best that you can be in reflecting your light. And as I say, some people can get the nurturing from the sun and some people got to run from the sun. Some people are going to get that light and some people want to block it out because it's too much for them. They can't grow from it. Some people, they get, see the sun and they get stronger. Some people see the sun and they want to block it or hide. So we can only kind of really do what we can do based on where we are. And so that's kind of how I have to answer that question, because it is very challenging. You know, when I work with young people who, you know, they want to be something different than what they naturally are, you know, I have to honor and respect that. But I also have to teach who I am and the nature of life and how things work in a universal sense, and kind of leave it up to the universe then to take them and guide them from there, you know.
Well, so like Rasha Key was saying, you know, we always want to give young students the North Star knowledge or the burning sands, you know, sacred knowledge after you cover your class subject. You know, you generally, you know, if you have some dead time, 5-10 minutes, you drop some sacred knowledge on them, you know, that's in a way in which they can't say it was inappropriate, but mm-hmm. it was very meaningful. And they come up and ask you questions. But I like the way you have the five perspective of Queen Ophelia, the healer, and healing thyself and knowing how to heal yourself mentally, spiritually, and physically. I like the way you have the appreciation for a righteous mother. Mm-hmm. A righteous a grandmother, a righteous aunt, and a righteous sister, because you know, you do have one element that has really messed up a lot of the natural understanding people have, and that's alcohol and drugs. Mm-hmm. Most people look at drugs as a man thing, but there are a lot of women that, you know, I've never seen women that would sell their babies until certain drugs came about. I mean, that was just a no-no, you know, and so, but I like the way you attributed a lot of your understanding to your mama and your grandmothers and things of this nature. And the thing is that, as Joe always bring out, the disproportionate of young people that don't live with their biological mothers.
Absolutely.
But those that do have those kids should practice the curriculum that you're talking about.
Yes.
That should be mandated by the state.
Yes.
That if your kids are not graduating as a foster home or placement home, and if your kids are going to the juvenile hall every other day, you shouldn't be a operator of a placement home, foster home. I like the way you.
I had a parent tell me one time. I'm sorry. I had a parent tell me one time, just call the cops on that kid. I said, ma'am, we don't call the cops on children. We call parents. Yeah. I couldn't even believe this woman had the audacity to tell me, just call the cops. This is your child.
And I really like the way you ran down, discussed the sky mother. That's very meditation. It's very important thinking. That's what Malcolm said. We have to learn how to think and be able to get some quiet time. Silence is golden, as they say. And so hopefully that the importance of self-reflection and inner inspections of yourself, you need to block things out and get into the meditation and get into that aspect. And I love the fourth one, the spiritual ality of that aspect of it. And then the as you put the grandmothers in the galaxy. Mm-hmm. Those are some very profound things. And you know, as we talk about it and appreciate it, and I'm like, Joe, I want to hear some more. But there's so much to it when they say Mother Earth. Absolutely. I mean, everything comes out of the woman, you know, from that standpoint, even the earth. So it's a beautiful presentation. So I'll let you continue with your presentation, and I may have some more to say in the conclusion.
All right. So you're okay with me going on and sharing my screen now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Excited to do that. Let me get this over here going.
Is this a part of the slides?
So this is actually the presentation. So let me go ahead. And this lovely individual here, first of all, a Women's Her Story Month celebration, March 30th, 2022. So notice that I took out his story and put her story because this is about her story. And we're honoring the female principal in your life. And this is a personal journey with Sister Making It Happen. So this is a personal journey for me that I'm glad to share with the Community Education Network about those historical figures that have impacted my life to make me a wise woman as we journey forward. So this is a Patricia, and she is my mom. And
we can't see it. I can't see them, but
it's just blank. Ooh, you can't see it. All you see is a plant.
Yeah, plant. Yeah.
Okay, so let's see.
Did you when you shared your screen, did you click on, you have to click on the PowerPoint? And then once you put share, when you pull up your screen, I mean you hit the green button, and then there should be icons that you can see. There's basic, advanced, and files.
Okay.
So do you see all the icons once you push the green button?
Ooh, Lord. You see me sharing, so you see my stuff.
Well, no, not right now, because you took it off.
Okay.
When you push the green button, what did you see?
When I push the green button, now I'm at the flower. This is the angel trumpet.
When you push the green button, you should have, like, different icons that you can click on.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't push share until you hit the icon that you want to present.
Okay, so let's see.
Start back over.
All right, sunshine.
No, I'm saying start back over with the...
with everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now, once you hit the green button, you should see different icons.
So I hit the green button. And it's telling me participants can now see your screen.
Okay, I don't know why it's different from what I do.
Okay, babe. So you can't see this picture right now being shown.
Yeah, I could see the flower and the tree trunks. I don't know if there's trees and the big old leaves.
Okay. All right. So I guess it's not working. So I'm going to have to stop because it's not working.
Okay.
I thought that I
got. Well, you can present, you know, some information you want to share.
Well, I actually have presented what I needed to present. I wanted to make sure that we address, instead of it, you know, being called his story, that we address her story. We bring her story into the fold. I want to make sure that I express the spirituality, the connection with nature, to the female principle, the creative force of the universe is a female principle. I want us to think about the women in our lives. I want us to honor the arts, the music and the dance and the movement and the yoga in healing our body as honoring the female principle. So what can you do? Continue to take care of your health. Eat right. Get some exercise. Drink some water. These are the things that are going to connect you with the female principle in you to create a healthy life, a healthy body, a healthy mind, and healthy spirituality. So those are just some of the basic things that I wanted to share with the group and make sure that, you know, I answered any questions in regards to that. So I appreciate the time. Again, wasn't able to get the slides to you, so I'll be working on that. So I'm prepared for my next presentation. But I, again, I thank you for the feedback and open it up to any other discussion that you guys want to have in regards to some of the things that I mentioned today.
Okay. So we'll go back in the same order. We'll go with Brother Mashinda.
No, I'm good for the evening. Like I say, I did enjoy the presentation, and it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Brother Mashinda. Brother Hembrick?
Yeah. Excuse me for my tuning in late. I forgot who was coming on. Kind of dozed, been working out in the garden today, but and let me correct myself from my last time I spoke. I want to give honor to the, you know, to the female aspects of my life, with my mother, first of all, and then my grandmother, Lucy, who had a great garden all of her life, used to nurture our entire family, lived to be 99 years old before crackhead cousin caused her to get discombobulated, and her sister, my Aunt Booker, who lived to be 108 years old. And I remember we all went to Texas for her 105th birthday. And I sat next to her. She used to visit us in the summer from time to time. And I put my arm around her and I said, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, You JoJo, right?" I'm like, "Damn, this woman's mind is still sharp," you know. And my aunts, you know, and cousins that are female, things they've done for me in my life. And I also want to piggyback on what you're talking about with the students. I remember when I was there working, there were a number of students. You're talking about getting out and having a commune with nature. I found out that a lot of the kids we had never been to Play Del Rey Beach, which is right down the street. I mean, I say, you gotta be kidding, you know. But students do need that. Kids, period. I know some of the guys who have went through the criminal justice system, and I saw in some documentary one time, I can't remember where it was, where they were making a comeback from being out, you know, having a commune with nature. That's why I encourage kids to, you know, get out there camping, you know, get out there with nature and just see what it is, cut that TV off and all of that, and just see what's really going on in, you know, on planet Earth. And I'm a big advocate of sitting in the sun every day, brother. Brother Raw calls me right at my evening time while watching Raw go down. He said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm looking at you." You know, I try to do that every evening because every sunset is different.
Right.
I like to sit out in the sun, you know, to so my chakra can build up inside and outside of my body.
That's right.
And tap that melanin that, you know, does wonders for us, you know, those that know about it. But anyway, I'm a big advocate of what you're saying, 1,000% of what you're saying. And, you know, Mo, you know, me and you talk whenever we together all the time. I haven't seen you in a minute, but, and I want to say that my Ida's doing well.
Good.
She just finished her second year of medical school.
Oh, yay.
Studying big tests. And once she passed that, she can go to the hospital and do her 2 years of residency, and then she's done. And plus, she's also, while she's in medical school, she's getting a master's in hospital administration. And she's doing holistic osteopathic medicine. That's what she's doing while she's there. So anyway, we talked
about... Good job, Dad. Good job. Good job.
We talked about an hour last night, so... I kind of leave her alone because I know she's busy all the time. I tell her, you know, just call me when you got a minute. And, you know, we're all into nature over here with the garden. I'm getting ready for my spring plant right now. Mm-hmm. Pulling weeds and getting his old roots out to get ready for the new plant. So appreciating what you said. And I'll be quiet now and let somebody else speak and let you get back to the stuff you want to say. All right,
please. All right. Thanks, Brother Hembrick. All right, Professor Ra.
Appreciate what's been said and what's been asked, if I understand it correctly. You know, the challenge is so hard, like Rashiki was saying. A lot of this information we wish we would have been nurtured in us at an earlier age. But sexism and sexual consumption and seeing women as weak, and you do as I say. I remember it was okay to beat women at one time, you know, before they had the women movement. And Black womanism entails the things that you are saying. I just, you know, the challenge is just getting young people to get a euphoria from practicing this of self-satisfaction, because they're being co-opted to think that the behavior that is really a danger to themselves. Mm-hmm. And men too, because I mean, I came up, like I used to tell people, I was Malcolm in the daytime and Superfly at night, you know what I mean? You know, we came up with Shaft and Mac and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then this rapping come in with the demonization of women and degradation of women and people getting paid millions of dollars to make rap songs that really speak unworthiness of the sacredness of life and appreciation. How do you stay focused, you know, and help young people stay, as you were mentioning, don't let the world change, you change the world. And I mean, your knowledge should be shared. That's my point.
Absolutely.
And it should be a part of the curriculum, a special girls group or girl and boys group. We used to have clubs when I was in high school where the teachers were sponsors, and they organized to address issues like this. Mm-hmm. You don't see that in high schools no more. You don't see it. I mean, these principles that you're talking about are sacred. And they're their strength. They're your armor against being sucked into a drug culture or sexual culture or a dependency, because you talked about the importance of female and male relationships. You know, so I know how I did. You know, I mean, I had to change. There's no need in me going in there telling my class one thing and then they see me do something else. Mm-hmm. So there had to be some continuity, you know. As I changed, then as I became more aware of my Blackness and my Black consciousness, all of us are sacred. The children, the women, all of them. But I'm just thinking about what type of strategy that we can sort of, you know, we used to have rites of passage for men and women, you know, those type of things. What do you think about that?
Unknown caller.
Well, so, you know, Black Women for Wellness is one of the organizations that I helped to find. And our goal was, we were college students on the campus of Cal State LA and USC and in the community. And they were elder women. It's a multi-generational organization. And there were elder women and young women and younger women. And, you know, there was a respect and for one another's position in life and a desire through people like your, you know, Queen Afua, through, you know, Jewel Pukrum, through, you know, Ayala Van Zant, through, you know, Black women on tour. You know, there was a big effort put, you know, to share this knowledge and help women find their sacredness. And, you know, there's elders like, you know, White Eagle from the Eagle Wings of Enlightenment Center. There's been a lot of work that's been done and still being done to help women understand their sacredness and make the changes that they need to make, because we don't come out kind of in this way that we understand our sacredness. Sometimes we do, and a lot of times we lose it, and we got to be reminded of who we are. And so having a forum like this, you know, using the media in a way that helps to reinforce some of the messages. And again, we know there's challenges there. Sometimes a good video will be out, or a good YouTube, and it can't get no traction because it's trying to uplift. But something foolish will go viral, right? Mm-hmm. So having a community that I'm part of, you know, principles, you know, practices like Kwanzaa, being able to share that, you know, we used to go and do Kwanzaa in the community. You know, I have a community Kanara, that the purpose of that Kanara is to do community outreach, to teach some basic understanding and to bring people into consciousness of themselves and their sacredness. And it, people get there through different means. You know, some people get the consciousness through health and wellness. Some people get it through having a professor like you that you open their eyes up. You change so many lives, so many people just sat in your classroom and they're different people now. You know, same for me. I was impacted by professors up at Cal State LA. I'm on this journey. Yes, my mother and father were in the consciousness movement back in the day, but I made a choice to stay on that path. I could have chosen to fall to the wayside or fall to where everyone else was going and not recognize my sacredness and what that meant. So being consistent, having a community, and being willing to listen to the young people to help course correct, because you got to listen to them to find out where they are. You got to spend some time with them to hear, to see where they're thinking, what kind of decisions they're making. And I have a lot of hope for the youngsters these days. I have a lot of hope when I look at my daughter and my two daughters, that things are getting better. Things are going to be well for them. There's still challenges. We still have, you know, the male chauvinistic and all the drugs and all the things, the irresponsibility, laziness, all the stuff with immature individuals that are not mature enough spiritually. They still have to deal with those issues. But there are a group of young people in their 20s, late 20s,
early 30s that are on our legacy, that have gotten the light, that do want to recognize their sacredness, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they need, yes, this information needs to be shared more, absolutely. More rites of passage programs, more time with young people, right? But mothers need the assistance, because you can talk to a child all day long and they go home and their house is out of control, right? So mothers need a lot of help getting, recognizing their sacredness, you know, so that they're not in a twerking competition with their daughters. Like, come on, right? Like, you're not chasing your daughter's boyfriend or his friend's friends. Like, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of work to be done, but we can do it. It's going to be a step-by-step process, because that's where we are. You know, I'm not out in the limelight. I'm not, you know, a big celebrity, you know, having all the platform where you can communicate. Those with the platforms need to be doing the communication, but of course their minds are not there. You know, I know Beyonce is trying to do some things, but again, there's a whole lot of in Jay-Z, but there's a lot of good things too that they're trying to do, you know? So the people with the platforms, you know, we need to make sure that they're covered. You know, this whole situation with the Will Smith, you know, it's so many spins going on this. We have a lot of work to do. And they're in their 50s, but they're still relatively a young couple, and they still need guidance from elders, obviously, to guide their relationship, right? So there's still the work needs to be done, you know? And so I value and I'm thankful to your ears, you know? I'm thankful to the feedback. And I'm just excited that there's this forum here to share what we're doing. But I do want to offer everybody that's here, we're talking about nature, I'm going to get some trees. At my school, Centennial High School, they have this club that's getting some trees that we can plant in the community. So I have some olive trees. I have 5 olive trees. I have 5 apple trees, and I have maybe about 3 cherry trees that I'm willing to share with this group. You can plant, you can get in the dirt and do some planting around your house. The goal for Centennial High School was to get these plants and plant them in the Compton community, right? So I don't know how many people knew that, but I know I jumped on that, and I'm trying to get my students involved because I believe in nature. I believe in the value of digging in that dirt, the relationship between the plants and the humans, and that extended communication and what we can learn from that. So I want to offer you all a plant, either, like I said, olive plant or apple. And if you have space, you can have one of the trees and start your spring growing. So I'll bring some by your classroom and share it with you. And you want to share it with the group, you can do so. If you guys are interested in either an olive, an apple, or a cherry tree, those will be available as of tomorrow. We'll be picking them up. And the school will be doing planting on April 2nd in the Compton Centennial community. So on April 2nd, our students will be going in the community planting trees.
That sounds excellent. Now, is any of those trees a smaller tree? Because I'm going to start planting, but I need something small. Are they large trees?
These are the saplings. And so I'm not exactly sure how big they're going to get, but an apple tree is pretty big. You know, they probably get, you know, I don't know, 10 feet, pretty big trees.
Okay, so I don't know if I'll be able to do that, but I appreciate the offer of Professor Ra. And Embrick has a garden, and Machinda's in Louisiana. So I don't know what we're going to do about him.
Special. Look, I really feel special. You all the way from Louisiana checking in with us. That's great.
Oh, yeah, that's my brother. So he's here all the time. So now, Professor Rod, are you interested in any of those trees?
Not right now, because, you know, I had agriculture when I was in school at Markham. You know, that was a required class for incoming at that time, A7, B7, before they went to middle schools and changed the labeling of schools. I think Compton still was a single grade, but in L.A. it was A7, B7. I think at A7, you come in, you had to take out with coach. So we learned how to get into the dirt, and to pass the class, you had to plant. And, you know, during that whole class, they taught you how to take care of you and water it and make sure that something grew. The other thing is that when you say you're going to be planting trees, are you saying in the public spaces, like on the curves, or are you talking about in yards?
In yards.
So would y'all do get a list of people?
Right. So people signed up to volunteer. Students signed up to volunteer.
I'm talking about as far as where you're going to plant them at. Do they?
So I have a couple of houses that I want to plant them, and I have a couple of gardens that I'm going to donate to. So that's kind of my plan.
I might confine some people that, you know, and I'll try to pass that on. That feel like, you know, that they're going to really do it. You know, I mean, it's a commitment to get to nurture the tree to where it's growing its own. It's a commitment. And, you know, you can't just plant the tree and then let it die.
Right.
You know, so I'll try to find some people.
Okay. And so the students at Centennial, their job is to put some trees in Compton, because, you know, that was the way of giving back. So.
Hey, Brother Hendrick, you interested in any of those plants?
Possibly, but what I would like to say is, back when I was working at the 10, I think it might have been before either one of you arrived on campus, I was teaching history at one time, but also was teaching PE. And we got a garden going on at Centennial, on the southwest side of the bleachers, behind the bleachers. It was a big area there that was a bunch of weeds. I mean, 6 feet tall, probably about 40, 50 feet long. Mm-hmm. And it was a guy on campus, Mr. Call, at the time. And, you know, he wanted to get, you know, that growing thing started. So I had my students dig up all the weeds in that area. We digged up all the weeds, turned over the dirt, got all the rocks out and everything. And I was trying to get the principal to go for a whole culture class. And he didn't want to do that. But he said, you know, you can make it a club.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Mr. Call did, made it a club. And we grew vegetables right there in that section on the southwest side of the bleachers. If you guys go there and look at it, and I hope it hasn't been covered up with cement or anything. I haven't been there in a while. But there's water right there. You know, you can get the tools from the gardening stuff in the district and get that done. And get the kids, that would be a great way to get the kids into it that are on campus, that you get them. And I found out that once they get into it, you know, because I was teaching them about property and all of that, property ownership. And I was talking about, you know, how that field looked is the way, you know, the powers that be kind of look at our community. But if you clean it up and straighten it up, you know, it brings value as far as property goes. But you can also, you know, hone in on the nature aspect of it, and the kids can watch stuff grow that they planted themselves. Yep. And it's really powerful. I think Crenshaw High School had something like that going on where they would sell or give the vegetables away to the community. So I just wanted to let you know that it's already been done there.
Yes.
In the day. So just take a little back-breaking work, soak it down real good so the weeds and grass will come up easy, turn it over, get you some compost, get some seeds or plants, and you can do it right there on site. I just want to share that because I know, you know, we did it in the past. So, okay.
Thank okay. You. We have a new person that popped on, Ms. Z. How you doing?
That's one of my sister friends that I was talking to you guys about. What's up, Zaynab?
So, okay. Now, we're basically at the end of the show. Did you want to have her speak about something or?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we did share. I mean, if you want to share, we did talk about the honoring the female principal. And we talked about some of my sheroes, like the Queen of Fuas, you know, the Jewel Pookrums, you know, my mom, my grandma, you know, Ayala Van Zandt, just some of the sheroes in my life. We talked about the Sky Mother, and we talked about honoring the sacredness of ourselves. And then we just had some dialogue around how to continue that honoring and celebrating. You know, we're at the end of Women's History Month, but, you know, there's 365 days, so we need to be honoring that female principal at all times. And so that was our discussion today.
So that's Ms. Zaynab. Sister Make It Happen. Her name is Zaynab. Ms. Zaynab.
Well, we're going to call her Sister Z for today.
Sister Z. Okay. Sister Z, did you want to add to our discussion this evening about the female principal?
Well, I thought I was coming to just listen.
Oh, that's fine. You don't have to.
But I always have something to say, sometimes, unfortunately. But I'm happy to see this new trend, wave, whatever, honor and protect the Black woman. I feel like it's long overdue. I think that it goes a long way in celebrating Black women or teaching us to celebrate ourselves. A lot of times we overlook ourselves for the benefit of everyone else. And I don't know if this is the context of what you all have been talking about, but it's just what came to mind as I was listening. There have been a lot of champions, and Moya and I have talked about them for quite a while. She named off a lot of our sheroes, you know, Queen of Hua in particular, who've been trying to teach women how to celebrate ourselves as well as each other for quite a while. And slowly but surely it's starting to catch on. You know, I feel like in this battle that we have daily as Africans in America, oftentimes it's difficult because brothers are struggling daily, trying to, you know, focus on how they can be strong in this hostile environment. Sisters are doing the same thing, and sometimes it creates tension and we turn on each other. And, you know, it has not done us, hasn't served us well. So I think, you know, maybe not because I'm a woman, but I definitely believe that the cure comes from women. You know, when we learn to appreciate, love, and respect ourselves, then we can see the reflection of ourselves in others, and then that love can spread to others. And when we are loving to ourselves and to other sisters, excuse me, it creates an environment where we are then able to love and cherish others. But as long as we can't do that for ourselves, then it's very difficult to do it wholesomely for others. So anyway, I know that I'm at the end. I apologize. I'm coming from work and a lot of other hats that I wear, but I definitely wanted to try to show up and represent for my sister who's out there in the community doing things on the regular. And if anyone, you know, should be celebrated, she's definitely among them. So I just kind of wanted to show up and represent. And thank you for allowing me to speak. I appreciate all these opportunities. I always hope to, you know, that the ancestors lead me to say something that may not have been considered by others, just to kind of keep those thoughts inspired. So thank you for allowing me to speak.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and thanks for coming. And we would like to have you as a guest in the future.
Master Key?
Yes, sir.
I want to ask both of them, because Sister Z said that something that made me think about Will Smith when he said that.
Here we go.
one of the reasons he went up there was because of he didn't stand up for his mother when his father was beating on her.
Mm.
And he felt that he felt that he was a coward and that he had to stand up for the insult of his wife. That's what he said. And he apologized, of course. But I just wanted to get y'all opinion on, because there's so many, you know, of all people criticizing somebody, Kareem Jabbar, you know, who really have a checkered past. To qualify him to criticize somebody is rough. But still, I just wanted to see what did y'all think about the slap as the European trying to make it like it's the slap that was around the world. Now, he kills women. They be looking for Heidi all in the woods and he done chopped her up and buried her. And he out there helping them look for her. But at the same time, he gonna act like that slap was such a devastating thing on national TV. But anyway, how do y'all feel about that?
Well, I know I was initially shocked. And I definitely laughed because I thought it was kind of comedy skit. I didn't think that it was real. Part of me still believes it's some kind of comical, some kind of marketing tool on some level. But on another level, for Will to come out of his character like that says a deal about a lot of the stress he's under, because I agree he should have definitely addressed Chris Rock. You know, I don't know if the way he did it was appropriate. In fact, we know it wasn't appropriate. But again, we don't know what he's dealing with. With feelings of feeling like he didn't protect people all his life, just feeling in the pressure of that moment. And then I feel bad for Jada. You know, I feel bad that, you know, the perception is that she, you know, is kind of made him do with it by her look or whatever that look was. You know, I don't think that it's cool to, you know, joke about someone's health. I didn't think that what Chris Rock said was bad, personally. I think that Chris Rock is a great person because he didn't respond in any way. He just kind of like was shocked as well, it looked like. So this is a lot of feelings that I'm having about it. And so I still don't even think Will's a bad person. I just think that Will is dealing with his life and facing, you know, all the other women that maybe he felt like he didn't stand up for, and this was the time for him to stand up. So I don't know. I laughed and I thought it was comical. I thought it was a ploy. I thought it was a joke. I couldn't believe that it happened. And I feel bad if he lost control like that. I do feel bad for him if he lost his mind, lost control, and his anger just took over him like that. So that's what I think.
Sister Z?
Did I take that? Oh, I did take that. Okay, so I think, like my sister, I was initially shocked. Like, what is this? Because I don't watch the news. I barely watch TV at all. So I didn't know what was going on. I kept seeing people make references and memes and all the things, right? And I'm like, something must have happened. So I look into it and I find all these videos and I watched what happened. And I'm like, interesting. In light of what I just said previously, initially, I was like, well, good. That's what you get for attacking Black women, you know? But after reflecting on it, I'm like, my second thought was, well, they're all actors. You don't know what to believe, you know? I don't really know what to think, what to make of this. You know, when he goes back to his seat and he's yelling, no, keep my wife's name out your house and this and that. And then he said it twice. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then I started reading some of the comments. And I was happy that because it was some white man with a microphone. And of course, he's running around shoving his microphone in every black person he could find in their face trying to get a comment. And, you know, the comments range from, well, that's pretty Philly. You know, he's from Philly and that's how Philly gets down, you know. And I was like, OK, but nobody threw him under the bus. And I was happy about that because, I mean, there was enough bus thrown as it was because, you know, there's two black men up there, you know, going all out or whatever. And I was just like, well, that's unfortunate. You know, I really didn't take it personally. I felt more, I guess, where I am now, to bring this to a quick close, right? Where I am now is I am glad that Will stood up because, you know, where I'm from, if you make a scene in public, then you get checked in public. You know what I mean? And so on that level, I'm like, oh, I kind of understand. I'm not so much, I mean, you know, I'm gonna keep it 100. I don't think that it was that big of a deal that it was done publicly.
Mm.
I don't get out like that. If I got a problem with you, I'm gonna deal with you. I'm not gonna deal with you and the whole audience and the rest of the world and all of, you know, I thought that was a little bit, but you know, you wanna act a fool in public, you're gonna get checked in public. So the apology, I understand that in their climate of Hollywood, you do what you gotta do to keep your bread coming, you know? I realize it's getting kind of dark in here. Sorry. Anyway, but I also feel like if it were me and I felt like this is a situation where I need to bomb on Betty, then I'm not apologizing. You know, I said what I said. I did what I did. I felt how I felt. And that's what it is. You know, you couldn't have paid me to apologize. Maybe to the people who saw it. And when I first saw it, the only apology that I saw was him apologizing to the Academy. Mm-hmm. I never saw him, heard, read, or anything. I understand that he later wrote a letter or something, an apology to Chris Rock. But if you socked him or slapped him or whatever you did, why are you apologizing? You know, if that's how you've truly felt in your heart, then why are you apologizing? So that part I don't really understand. That might just be my, you know, my shortcomings. But I don't know. I feel like the whole thing has been made too much of. Given all of the other things going on in the world right now. I mean, Chris Rock has said a bunch of things that I felt he should have been slapped for long ago, you know? And so, you know, whatever. But yeah, I just feel like America is full of distractions for Black people to keep us focused on the wrong thing. And this is yet another one. I'm surprised that so many people have spent so much time and energy talking about it. Because I mean, people get smacked every day for talking crap about someone else. So to me, it was just another occurrence, and it just happened to be on stage in front of a bunch of white people. And so then everybody has to respond and react. Yeah, so,
good point. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I appreciate y'all's response. And the reason I want, and I'm going to paraphrase y'all's comments. Not using your name, but some sisters said this at the Black World News Forum Friday, because I know that's going to be a topic. And as Rasha Key said, we discuss these issues Monday and Wednesday, and we hope y'all will join us and challenge some of the things that's been said or discuss or contribute to it. It'd be a pleasure having to knowledgeable Black conscious women as part of our platform to discuss critical issues that affect us as a people and how to approach them. Especially, you know, both of y'all were both dynamic in your responses, and that's what I wanted to say. That's why I asked you that. Thank you. Asante-san.
Thank you.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
it's good to hear some different perspectives. Because mine is different from y'all's, but it's good. Brother Henrik, you wanted to chime in? Are you ready to chime in?
Yeah, brother. Well, Paul, you didn't ask them the last question you asked us. Like if that was a white man, you think Will Smith would have went up there and slapped him? Yeah, that's the question.
No. Well, they just passed the anti-lynching law, so he might have had some action. You know? Maybe. All of a sudden.
Yeah, but I gotta, you know, because when I initially looked at it, Will was laughing and cracking up himself when Chris first said it. And that's the weakest pimp slap I've ever seen in my life. I don't think the palm of the hand was involved in it at all. It looked like fingertips to me. Mm. So, you know, but anyway, it's all buffoonery, you know, the whole kid caboodle of it. So, and like the sister said, you know, it's like Chris Rock says the things about women and brothers and sisters. He should have been got his butt whipped a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it there.
Well, one thing that Mr. Bond said, Chris Rock is having a show tonight. They say it's sold out.
Absolutely.
And the best tickets are going close to $4,000. So everybody, and this is just in a little auditorium. This ain't a suite. You understand? And so let's see what's going on with this response. I agree with Sister Shabazz said he handled it smoothly. He didn't try to block it. He didn't swing back. So we'll see what happens. But it's going to be a discussion. Although we want to put it behind us as conscious people, the masses are still talking about it. You know, I mean, you know, they only, you can use this to educate them on other things. That's my point. All right, Rasha Keith.
Okay, I just wanted to share this video that we did on Monday on Conscious Corner. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a must hear because Professor Rock and Brother Mashinda and Brother Hembrick, we had a lengthy discussion about
you too.
Yeah, so I encourage everybody to check it out. It's the Black Community News Forum with Professor Amin-Ra, Joe Hembrick, and Brother Mashinda. So yeah, I encourage everybody to watch that.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, you know, I appreciate Sister Making It Happen come on and do her thing like normally she do. She, you know, she's a crowd pleaser around here. And then we have a new sister coming on, Miss C. Hopefully we can get her to do her commentary and presentations. And yeah, I'm getting excited that we have more people around to, you know, give us this great information. So, Sister Z, I appreciate you coming, and hopefully we'll have you on as a guest real soon. And we'll get in contact with you through Sister Making It Happen here, all right?
I was going to say, because, yes, she's sharing her light and shedding all her love and light in the city of Long Beach and many other places, but she's definitely part of the fam. This is your Long Beach fam, and so they're going to be excited to hear all the great work you're doing in the community.
Yeah, we definitely want to hear it. And you know, I'm already anticipating greatness. Excellent. All right, so I want to thank everybody for attending this evening and another great show. And we're going to keep doing it. Okay, brother, Professor Rob, who we got next Monday?
Monday, brother Ronnie Foster, he grew up in Wisconsin, but he went over to Ghana and he stayed close to 2 months. And he wrote a couple of poetry books. And he's going to be discussing his experiences on the continent and in Ghana and what he saw and what, you know, and things of that nature. And so he'll be on Monday.
Okay, excellent. So next Wednesday for the CEN show, we got a brother coming on, Todd Irving. He's a educator. He was a principal at our school, and I went to Long Beach with him, and I was in Long Beach Unified School District because of him. He asked me to come over and do a program, and he's going to talk about the state of education after COVID-19. So that should be very interesting. Yeah. So you know, Sister Z, we are here every Monday and Wednesday, and it's open to the public. So you're always welcome to come in. And
thank you.
Each one teach one in Conscious Corner, everybody. Have a good evening.
All right. Sante sana tutana.